Hello, hello, hello. I am your Nora Daza, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to look.
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And can you believe it is the end of MF July? I know, guys. Folks, I know. I've been saying this for like 3 weeks now. But the summer is flying by. We're still in quarantine. We're still wearing masks. We still can't go into restaurants here in New York City. How is time flying by so fast? As if this is hot girl summer. How is it happening? I don't know, but I have been trying to enjoy it the best I can. I have been cooking the house down boots. I have been trying to get out. And today I am so excited because I have a brand new friend to me, right? And whom I discovered because she was one of the many beautiful hosts you may have seen at Savor Pride this year, Miss Kate Pelayo. Say hi.
Hi, everybody. How are you guys doing?
How are you is the question.
Great. It's actually finally my off today, so I'm really happy to actually participate in this podcast. I'm so excited. I've been so looking forward to it.
Well, I've been chasing you for a minute.
So. Yeah, I have such a crazy schedule.
That's fine. I'm always the chaser. I may not be the top in the relationship, but I'm always the chaser.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Right? I said not always, but not, you know. Listen, it has to be an even keel. It's a partnership is all I'm going to say. But I digress. Folks, In Your Mouth listeners, Kate is a sous chef at a little restaurant you may have heard of. You know, this like little hole in the wall called Tao, Los Angeles. But her journey, I found, is a really, really interesting one, starting with like a degree in communication arts and then pursuing her culinary degree in the Philippines. Like I said, I found her because she was one of the many beautiful guests of Savor Pride. And as you all know out there, I am on a quest to build a big gay army. But before we get anywhere, Kate,
yes.
Are you ready?
Let's do this.
I want to wish you, now you're lucky because today, July 29th, I want to wish you Happy National Lasagna Day.
Hey, oh my God, one of my favorite pastas.
Yes, but today is a double day, and don't ask me why. Happy National Chicken Wing Day.
Oh, that's a tough one. I love it too. That's my go-to meal too.
So, I mean, if you had to choose lasagna or chicken wings?
Chicken wings, for sure. Anytime, with a beer.
Wait. We're drinking. It's late night.
Cheers.
Cheers. Kate is drinking. Hold on. As she watches me spill it all over myself. Kate is drinking a Heineken, not a sponsor. Thank you very much. And I am having a little bit of delicious pink gin. Have you ever had pink gin?
No. I'm not a big of a cocktail drinker. I love whiskey.
All right.
But whiskey and Coke is that's it. I don't really
Spoken like a woman of the kitchen.
As they say, someone told me that already. I was like, probably. I just want it straight up and then that's it.
Beer and whiskey. That good old kitchen life.
Exactly,
oh my God.
Exactly.
No, chicken wings that you make or chicken wings. I want to go back. Chicken wings that you make or chicken wings from outside.
Of course, the one I make, of course. But, you know, the kitchen life is not that easy and I'm too exhausted most of the time. So to go is the right way to do it all the time.
I'm totally baiting you here because I have a favorite chicken place, but do you like fast food chicken, like fried chicken?
Oh yeah, have you heard about our fast food chain?
That's my favorite. Shout out to Jollibee. So there's a Jollibee. I live in Times Square. You may not know this, Kate, okay. But I live in Times Square, right? Believe it or not, in somebody's walk-in closet at this point. And there's a Jollibee that has opened up like a year ago,
that's what I
2 years
ago.
Yeah, 2 blocks from me.
On Fifth Avenue, right?
No, on Eighth Avenue.
Oh, Eighth Avenue. Okay.
It's why is it so delicious?
Honestly, I was born eating that chicken. And I was even betting everyone that I know since I moved here in the US. I was like, I can guarantee you 100%, not even close to KFC or whatever.
No.
Jollibee's like, no, it's really the bomb chicken. It's not because I'm Filipino. Not because of that, but I like the taste is different. The crunchiness, the juiciness of the chicken. Oh my
God. Yes. Listen, I'm Puerto Rican. We're basically cousins, honey. And the only reason I know about Jollibee actually is because my sister-in-law and my brother's mother-in-law, he married into a Filipino family. And so I was like, what is this chicken? Chicken joy is exactly what they call it. And they serve it with the most delicious side of gravy that you dip into. It takes all my strength not to be there on a daily basis. They unfortunately have like been shut up since the quarantine. I don't know if they're open again, but I'm not about to check.
Really? They shut down even to go?
I think so. I think so. But like I said, I tried to stay away because I'm watching my girlish figure.
Okay.
You
need to spoil yourself sometimes.
I do with pink gin, you know.
There you go.
Well, as always, Kate, I like to call on our gay ancestors here, because if we don't learn from the past, how are we going to like live, you know, well in the future? And did you know on this day in 1978, the Village People's first major hit, disco single Macho Man, begins a 6-week run in the nation's top 40, and it will eventually go to gold?
Wow. What a lucky day for me. I was like, I never thought about it. I like, it's a famous song even back home in the Philippines. It's one of like to-go songs on the bars as well, especially like, you know, people when already all drunken, but it's crazy. Really? I never thought of that.
Yeah, 1978.
That's really good to know.
Isn't that fun? Awesome. A little happy fact for this late July. You know, why not? A shout out to the Village People. So, thank you for taking time out of your very, very busy sous chef life. How have things been since the quarantine? And is Tao now doing like to go? How have you had to adjust? You know, in this space.
Yeah, so the first time that there was a lockdown, basically everyone got laid off. I was included with it. And then, so we ended up like closing down, and then they slowly opened for delivery. And the first person that they called is me, other than my corporate chef. So we went back and continued the delivery. And then June 17th, we actually opened again for 2 weeks, and then they shut it again. So now we're just doing deliveries, and it's been crazy because, like, of course, my corporate chef can't focus on just the Tao itself, and I'm the only sous chef available right now in LA. So basically, it's just me, one corporate chef, and one sushi chef most of the time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
But it's like... Wait a minute. Now, this may be a stupid question, but because it's like, you know, Tao is very fancy and so on, do you have like fancy packaging that you put, like, is everything really beautifully like shipped to the door when you...
We try to be like, because the thing is like, one of the things that people come back and eat in Tao is the experience, the ambiance, you know, and sometimes it's hard to send that to the people that if they're ordering delivery. I, for myself, I'm not a big fan. If I wanted to eat some, like a specific food on a specific restaurant, I wanted to go there. I don't want to be delivered because I wanted to experience the ambiance in there, the restaurant itself. So as much as we can, we, in the packaging, we made sure that our service is being felt once they hand out, the delivery guy, they hand out their bag. So we have everything to, like, we make sure that everything is complete. Everything that we can offer, the max out that we can offer in the bag, we make sure that everything's in there. So, yeah, the labelings and all, we even put stickers in it as, like, the Tao sign. So, yeah.
Wow, I'm sad you're not working in Tao, New York, so you can, like, ship some stuff over to me.
Oh.
I've been craving...
We're open. Tao, New York is open, but the outdoors...
Yeah, but now that we're friends, I don't want to pay for it.
Trust me, I'll take care of you once you visit LA.
I can't wait. I've actually never been to LA. I've been all over California, but not LA.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's so random. But I want to hear a little bit more about your journey. How do we go from, like, communications to culinary arts? Like, what made you, like, transition?
So when I was in college, I was like, okay, I was in communication arts. I really wanted to be in an advertising business. So I wanted to be, like, in the production, like, something media. That's what I really wanted before. But no, actually, I took interior designing for 2 years. And I shifted to communication arts. That's how crazy I was in college. I was, like, partying. I was young. I was, like, just... But I that's the thing. I still party, but I made sure I finished my school. You know, typical Filipino family, you have to finish school. But my family is, like, on the accounting side. And they were like, you have to take accounting. I was like, nope, that's not...
Where did you grow up?
Philippines.
In the Philippines. And then where did you go to college?
In the Philippines as well.
Oh, okay, great. So just so I have some perspective for myself and the audience, yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And then when I was in my communication arts degree already, like, so I have friends who took up culinary. And if you're familiar with Chef Frances Tariga, she's one of the, she joined Top Chef. She's in New York. That's why I worked in New York before, because she asked me to move there to help her open Megu, if you're familiar with Megu.
Wow, listen. In Your Mouth listeners, this has been a celebrity filled past, like, 2 months. And I mean, celebrity chef over here, just, you know, going from fine dining to fine dining. I mean, if you don't know Megu here is, like, one of the best restaurants in the city, you know?
Yeah, it was a huge impact in my career, because after, when I moved here in the US, I was working in Palm Springs. Hey,
yeah.
So it's a city.
Yes, like, that's like gay Mecca.
Yes, exactly. That's and then when my friend, she's my college friend, Frances, Chef Frances, and then she lives in New York that time, and she was, like, telling me that you should move here in New York, help me out, open up Megu. So that's the time I decided to move in New York. So that time, while I was working in Megu as a sous chef, I was able to meet a lot of chefs as well. And going back to actually when I was in communication arts, I just, like, realized that I was, like, after I graduated, I was, like, working in the office. I did real estate. I did everything that I can do for my degree. But I was, like, I wasn't really happy. I wasn't, no, this is not for me. I don't like office job. I can't just sit in the office. And no offense to other people. My wife works in a bank. So, you know, but, like, my thing is, like, I wanted something moving. I want something to, like, you know, that actually makes me fulfill. That's how I want it.
And then, sounds like there was a creative itch that you needed to scratch.
Exactly.
And so
I feel like,
and you, like, you found it via, mm-hmm. via the kitchen.
Exactly. Yeah? And then, cause my brother took a culinary school too. So he's a chef as well. So that time I was being, like, exposed with food as well. So I was like, okay.
Well, and growing up in a Filipino household,
I know,
food 24/7.
Exactly. That's so funny.
No lack of food.
Honestly, I'm a late bloomer when it comes to kitchen. I'm not really a good cook before. I know how to cook, but not like cook, you know what I mean? But I love to eat. My vice, even back home or even like right now, my vice is try different restaurants. I don't care. I mean, of course, I care about money, but at the same time, I like trying different restaurants. I don't know why. It's my guilty pleasure.
I can completely agree with that. Absolutely. I grew up in a Puerto Rican household, and there's much like I would imagine in Filipino households, is that, like, there's, like, your staple dishes, your staple rice, your staple empanadas, your staple meats, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The lechon, ours is pernil, right?
Yes.
So on and so forth, these staple dishes. And once I started working in restaurants, front of house, you know, managing events, and I got the taste of different things and different things, like mushrooms. We never had mushrooms growing up. And then all of a sudden I got, I myself got like a curiosity sparked in me to start to learn to cook. I'd see a chef, Kamal Rose. Oh my God. Shout out to you. A fabulous chef here in the city. Make a dish back there. And I was like, how'd you do that? He goes, oh, I just did this and this. And I would try to go home and recreate it. And my mother would always be like, where did you learn to eat like this? Where I didn't teach you how to eat like this. And I go, well, there's a bigger, like this food is delicious and I love mm-hmm. this food, but there's more out there.
I agree. Even my mom was like, when I finished my culinary and I decided to move here and I got the job and, you know, and she sees that how I was doing actually good with my career. And then she was able to actually try Tao. I was able to like show her my work and all that. And she was like even saying, and then she watched my video for the New York Pride. And she was like, wow, I never thought that you reached this amount of knowledge already when it comes to food. She was even she was surprised because I was like, I wasn't the kind of person when I was growing up, like running in the kitchen and I'm going to ask her, what are you doing? No, not at all. I mean, I'm the tomboyish already that I was like outside playing with the boys, you know, like that's how I do it. I was pretty just an outsider. I love like go like just be out. So she was even surprised that my palate like was like expanded to the different level. And when she went here, I was like trying to like, and when I went home actually last year, I was like, I cooked something for her and she was like, I never thought you could actually do this. Like even my mom was like surprised as well too.
Does she like to eat? That's beautiful, A. And B, does she like to eat a lot of different things? Or is she a woman of like, I only trust me.
This is one thing that you have to know about my family. It's so weird that my family, like my aunts, my uncles, my parents, not my dad, but on my mom's side, which is I grew up with, they don't have vices. They don't smoke. They don't drink. All we do is eat. That's what we do. When we go reunions, we lunchtime, we're going to sit in the dining and there's no standing up till dinner. Yep. That's how we do it.
That's it. Well, listen, the Filipinos are known to be party people, honey. Always. Oh, yeah. much like the Puerto Rican. They are good time people. Always.
If you got a karaoke, that will be perfect.
Yes. Right. Speaking of family, you mentioned you had a wife. How long have you been married?
I've been married for like 2 years. For just me. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. That's lovely. I mean, 2 years and gay years are like forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, lesbians. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, lesbians, if you meet someone today, the next day they're U-hauled already. So
in your mouth, listeners, I did not make a lesbian U-Haul joke. I just wanted to be known.
But like, I can't deny it. Like it was like a connection that was strong. And I met her in Dinah. So
you met her in where?
Dinah Shore. You're familiar with Dinah Shore.
Yes.
It's basically, yeah. So it's like, so it's not something that you're going to expect a person to meet, like that's going to be your wife. It was a party for all lesbians, thousands of lesbians.
Well, can you explain to the In Your Mouth listeners what Dinah Shore is from your perspective?
Okay, Dinah Shore is basically a yearly event for lesbians in Palm Springs. It's held 5 days, different day, different parties, and at least 20,000 lesbians will be there from all over the world.
That's
so
amazing.
It was amazing. It was a blast. It was crazy. It was one of the best parties I've been.
That's beautiful. I always say on the podcast, and my listeners know that I am here to highlight LGBTQ people and their allies in the culinary realm. But really, this is our space to tell our stories, because I always say that not only does representation matter, but our stories matter, because we never know who's listening, right? Mm-hmm. And as a beautiful, you know, lesbian Filipina woman, right? Your story is important. And I'm curious, and if someone out there is listening to this that really resonates with your story, you know, we never know who we can help, you know, because we're tangible people. We're not the Kim Kardashians of the world. nor may we not want to be. Who knows? But you know what I mean there? And I was curious to know what you're coming out like, and if you would share that story with us.
Of course. Like, I don't really have like a really, really coming out story, because as we all know, if you guys are aware, like being a Filipino, Philippines is like 80% Catholic. I was born and raised as a Catholic, and I'm very proud to be a Catholic. So I mean, but the thing is, the norm that they were saying about being Catholic is like, if you're gay, it's a sin. That the culture of being Filipino comes in. So this is what I always explain to people when they ask me, so how are they accepting you in your country? And I was like, that's the thing about Filipinos. Yeah, we are very religious people, but it doesn't mean that we rather hate people. We Filipinos in general, what I know by heart is, even if it's not something that we grew up believing, and they say it's against the Bible or whatever they say, Filipinos by nature, they will still choose to be kind. So my mom, when I know for a fact that I was gay, she put me in an all-exclusive all-girls school. So it's like that time I was in a co-ed when I was in grade school.
Mean that my mother knew I was gay because she put me in an all-boys school here in New York?
Probably. Well, that's a sign of support, which we don't know. You know what I mean?
You know what? I'm going to accept that. Okay.
That's the thing. Like, if you come to look back in your life, I was like thinking before, because I was in a COVID in grade school. And then when I went to high school, my mom transferred me in an all-girls school. And at first I was freaking out, like, what the hell is this? Like, what, why? Like, but I know in my heart, I was attracted with women already. I know that. But on my first year, on my freshman, I was denying it. There's some girls who wanted to, like, you know, hit it up with me, but I was like, no, I'm straight. I'm really straight. But in my head, I was like, I know I'm gay, but I was still freaking out that time. So, but eventually I gave in, of course. As you can see, I'm very gay, but like me and my mom never talked about it. That's the thing. You will see it, how the culture comes in, that my mom, we never talk about it. She just respects how my life is. She wants me to be happy. She always says that. I just want you to be happy. Do whatever you want. Take what course you want. I'm not going to pressure you or anything. I just want you to be happy. She always says that to me. So I was like, okay. And then my ex came in. So my ex was like, it was a really bad breakup. It was bad. It was too much drama. It's too much lesbian drama. So anyway, so she was asking when we broke up, she said, well, how come I don't see her anymore? And then I told my mom, just blurted out, well, she cheated on me. That's it. And that's basically it. That's coming out. That's confirmation from me to her that, okay, I'm gay, and that's it. And then after that, she's very like, okay, flag everywhere. She's fine with it already. And she's very close to my wife. And
I love that. That's beautiful. And I love that you reference Catholicism, because I grew up very Catholic as well. I went to an all-boy Jesuit school here in New York City. Mm-hmm. And you know, you often hear, and you said this yourself, that like, oh, being gay is against the Bible and so on and so forth. But none of that is true. Like,
I agree.
None of that is true. And so I love the message that you have relayed, that the Filipino people would rather be kind and accept, right? Because that's what exactly. That if we're going to be religious about it, let's be religious about it. Because that's what that Bible teaches.
I agree. I completely agree.
100%. So the Filipinos are being the best by your words, are being the best Catholics they can be by treating you kind because you have done nothing wrong, right? Exactly. You're not hurting anybody. You are living your life, and they accept you, and they just want to be kind to you and show love. So yeah, exactly. I love every last minute of that.
I was like even surprised. Some of the people who asked me, like, is there any gay people in the Philippines? I'm like, hell yeah. I'm like, there's a lot of celebrity gay people, like crazy. Like, you have no idea how accepting Filipinos are when it comes to gay. You know, it's just that you don't discuss religion anymore. Because, okay, you just respect, because those gay guys as well, that the celebrities, the famous lesbian or gay in the Philippines, they're very religious too. They go to church, but like, it doesn't really matter. For us, it doesn't really matter. As long as you respect each other, you're done. You're okay. You're good. Yeah. You're happy. If you're happy, then they're good.
Yeah. And as long as you can eat with the rest of us, as long as you can chow down.
We're breathing the same air. Come on.
I love that. I love every last minute of that. And before we get any deeper, because I just want you all to like stew in that for a little bit, I'm going to take Kate to my favorite part and y'all's favorite part of the podcast. Are you ready, Kate?
Oh, okay.
Here we go for a little bit of food news update.
What is it? Let's do it.
Food news. Ooh, honey, you ain't ready.
Girl.
The iconic Swedish meatballs at IKEA are getting a vegan makeover.
Okay. Honestly, I mean, I know a lot of people who loves it. I wasn't the one.
Wait. So this is the vegan version of IKEA's iconic Swedish meatballs, who allegedly had horse meat in them at one point, if we don't remember that story from a million years ago, right?
I never heard about it.
They were delicious then with the horse meat. Not that I'm here for killing the horses, but wow. Now there's a big vegan trend happening. All the stars are vegan, right? From Lizzo to Mark Wahlberg to one of the Khloe Kardashian, I think, just went vegan again. And now IKEA is getting back, is jumping on board, and will release the new plant ball. Each ball is made from a plant-based meat substitute, which includes apple, oats, onion, potatoes, and yellow pea protein. So while the plant balls are supposed to look and taste like meat, they will have a different climate footprint of only 4% of the real thing. Look at that. That's incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they'll be served exactly like the iconic meatball, with lingonberries, mashed potatoes, and vegetables.
Wow. Who would have thought? Like, it's amazing how food has evolved. I'm like in awe. Before, like, I'm Filipino, very proud of it, and I like my meat. As I always tell my friends, don't get me wrong, I'm still gay, but I like my meat.
Listen, I'm still gay, and I really like my meat, girl.
Right? So, I mean, I'm like, you know, like, but the thing is, like, I don't think I can ever be vegan or even vegetarian, to be honest. I love meat too much. Like, I just can't. But it's just amazed me, and it challenges me as a chef, that how can I actually satisfy the vegan guests? That's how I always look at it. Like, what else can I do to actually make something that is not processed? That's one thing. Because I know for a fact that some of the vegan food that we have right now, it's still processed. So I'm not a big fan of processed food. So it's not something that, yeah, you're going to say it's healthy, but it's not, because it's processed. So I wanted something that really gives emphasis, okay, this is vegan food. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so of course.
It's hard to do it as a chef who loves meat. But I'm taking that challenge, to be honest. Every day I always do something, like, you know, if I have downtime in the kitchen, I always think of something to do. And then my cooks are like, what are you doing, chef? I was like, just, you know, I'm just doing something. In my head, it's always like working. And then I just got to do what I got to do. I wanted to make a difference. You know, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, when it comes to food. And when it comes to veganism now, and I'm really eating my words every week since I said that veganism is so hard and veganism is difficult and veganism is so expensive. Literally, Kate, every week, because I said this like 4 weeks ago now on the pod, and now I'm just eating my words, because every week it seems to be becoming easier and easier to be a vegan. Right. But the issue is, and it's what you said right here, is that we have to find the difference from what is processed, right, and full of chemicals, and what is actually going to be good and healthy if we're going to go that route, you know, because because there are vegans out there that eat French fries and, you know,
it's potato, like
and bread all the time. And it's not like, you know, there has to be a balance there too. So, are we here for these IKEA plant balls? I think I would try. I'd give them a try. Why not?
Yeah, I would love to try it. Like, I would, like, I always try food. I'm not afraid of trying different food. So, I'm up for it. And I love IKEA. I always go there for anything that I need, to be honest. When it comes to furniture, if you only see my apartment, it's like, IKEA.
Yeah. Well, we can, you know what? We're here for this. And if you want, you can go out and buy a frozen bag for $5.99. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
Bar installs electric fence after customers fail to socially distance. Could you imagine? What would you do if you walked into a bar and there's an electric fence there?
Can I see profanity here? Like,
yeah,
like, why? Wait, what the fuck? I've seen that. I think I've seen that in the news.
Yeah. So apparently this happened. Hold on a second. Pubs in England, North Ireland, and Scotland were allowed to reopen for the first time not that long ago. And social distance guidelines have actually been cut from 6 feet to a vague-ish 1 meter plus, according to munchies.vice.com here. But drunk people just won't do that. Apparently, especially English drunk people, because on the first night, John Apter, the chairman of the Police Federation, said that he had to deal with naked men, happy drunks, angry drunks, fights, and more angry drunks. So a bunch of these bars had to close because the spread of COVID. But there is a manager at a pub in Cornwall in southwestern England that put up an electric fence to keep people from social distancing.
I've seen that in the news, actually. No, actually not in the news. Like, I was like scanning on Facebook and I've read an article about it. Honestly, like, is it? That's the thing about, like, are we really that hard to discipline in general? Like, is it hard to just follow the rules? Just, like, wearing a mask.
Well, when, like, you're wasted, I think so.
I agree. Honestly, that's very true. You had a really good reason about it. But the thing is, like, if you really care about yourself and for the people who loves you, the people around you, you just, by nature, you're just going to do what you got to do.
Exactly. I agree. I absolutely agree. Well, he's, McFadden told the Cornwall Live, before the fence, people were not following social distancing and they were doing as they pleased. But now people take heed to the guidance around social distancing. It's for everybody's benefit. He actually compared the people. He goes, people keep away from it like people are sheep. You know, they know it's a fence and they don't want to touch it to find out whether it's on or not.
Wow.
So that's, I find that very, very funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Like, it's like, wow. Well, people make stupid stuff.
Yeah, and he's been able to stay open because other bars have had to shut down because people weren't social distancing.
That's actually a smart move too. Like, so, okay, you want a drink, you want your alcohol, come and get it, but follow the rules, period.
Follow the rules or you're going to get electrocuted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
I think there's some people in my life I'd like to throw against the...
Same here.
Well, shout out to you. What is this? Greg Martin, right? What? Oh, yes. It's the Star Inn. Shout out to you, Johnny McFadden, who runs the Star Inn. We, me and Kate are here for this. Trader Joe's says it will change its racist product name. I never really thought about it, but yeah. Have you heard about this?
What is that?
So Trader Joe's, so about 2 weeks ago, there was an online petition launched calling for Trader Joe's to remove racist branding and packaging. This is from GrubStreet.com. And the grocery chain says it's in the process of changing the names of its international food lines, right? It's been in this years-long process of repacking for products like Trader Ming's and Arabian Joe's. And it says it's soon going to be completed. This is from a Trader Joe's spokesperson. The petition was actually started by a San Francisco high school student, Briones Bedell, who criticized the inspiration for the store's theme and as being rooted in racist tropes and stereotypes. So, yeah, Bedell put the petition in the context of the current moment, acknowledging existential issues like police brutality and saying that the time is right to question microaggressions like Trader Joe's branding. So a list of Trader Joe's food product lines are Arabian Joe, Baker Yosef, Yosef's Brow, Pilgrim Joe's, Trader Giotto's, Trader Jock's, Trader Joe-san, Trader Jose's, and Trader Ming's.
Wow. Honestly, like, it's so tough to actually, like, react. Like, how do you say it? Like, it's, there's some things that I completely agree on, like, that it's so, how do you base the food, like, just by their nationality? I know, like, of course, like, the ones, the first thing that come up with, that I heard that you said is, like, Arabian Joe's. I'm like, it's kind of, like, a little racist. But if you're not, like, you know, if you're just going to think about it, it's basically just telling you that if you're an Arabian, you're going to like it at this, like, with the American flair of the food.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that Trader Joe's spokesperson says in a statement that while the naming system was conceived as a lighthearted attempt at inclusiveness, we recognize that it may now have the opposite effect. So with that statement there, yeah, I can see what they were doing, that they wanted to be inclusive. Like, this is our Asian food section. This is our Middle Eastern food section. But now looking back on it, because I had never thought about it before, a really good girlfriend of mine loves the Trader Ming's line of food, and she always has that in her freezer. And recently I've, like, heard her mention it. I was like, is this, like, I actually don't think this is right. Like, this is, like, you know, there's something not okay about this. Actually,
I agree. That's the thing. Like, there's a very thin line when it comes to those kind of stuff. Because, like, before, if just to let you know, like, I lived in Dubai before for a year. I worked in Dubai before, so I was like, there is a certain, their groceries, they have a certain part of the grocery that it just says not for Muslim.
Wow.
Yeah. So literally, just a section that it says not for Muslims. I completely agree on that. Like, it's not, for me, it's not offensive. It's not totally offensive, because, like, that part is that has pork or whatever, but it's good there. Like, you know, I totally get that. But, like, there's a thin line when it comes to distinguishing your culture when it comes to certain things like food, like what we're talking about right now.
Exactly. So,
you know, Go ahead.
And yeah. And why did it, for it to be inclusive of that culture, why did it have to be Trader Ming? Why couldn't it just be, like,
straight to the point?
Yeah, straight to the point. Like, just Asian fried dumplings, like wok seared shrimp from Trader Joe's, or or whatever it is. We get that it's an Asian style food that you are producing.
I agree. Yeah, I completely like they have a point in there. Like some people, they take it really, really like offensive. And I completely respect that. I like me personally, like as a Filipino, as an Asian, as a minority, part of the minority, I feel like there's a sensitive side when it comes to those kind of stuff. Me personally, I'm not super offended about it because probably like, you know, it's just... As I like, because of my background, probably because of communication arts and advertising as well. So I know for a fact that just doing it for business, nothing personal. It's not something that they wanted to be offensive. They just wanted to relate with people. That's one thing that probably their target, which we don't know. But like, I completely respect as well when people are feeling offended when it comes to their culture and they're giving them a different perspective and a different meaning. Basically, those names are double meaning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. And I'm happy that Trader Joe's is listening to the people because I think Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's was always started like, you know, grassroots and like was always like a small shop before it turned into this big thing that it is. So, and it's providing affordable things and they do a lot of good things. So hopefully, you know, this isn't just a spin that they're putting on it and they were really meant to be inclusive. And now they're like, okay, this doesn't work anymore for us. Let's get rid of it and let's just call it what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. So good on you, Trader Joe's. Hopefully you're doing the right thing out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to end food news update. In your mouth, listeners, I just want you to know that Kate told me right before we started that she's very shy. I think Kate has been killing it here. And and I feel like that food news update really, really just fed your soul right now.
Yeah, I'm very like, that's the thing. You like, once you get to know me, I'm very passionate when it comes to food and what I actually believe in. And I'm very sensitive too when on other people's feelings and opinions. So I try to like be on the level side of the things. But when it comes to my sexuality, to my food, to my passion, I'm kind of like...
Are we combining food and sex all of a sudden?
Why not? Why not, right? Why not? That's the thing. It will show you, like me personally, when it comes to food, it will show how I am. You will see it how I am. Like, there's some, like, I've worked with some chefs, like, okay, the taste is good, the salt is spot on, but they don't agree on how I take it. Because me personally, yeah, the taste is good. I'm not complaining about the taste, but I don't know why. My palate is always looking for texture. So, there's things that you don't agree. There are things that you actually agree on, but... It's not something that you have to like discuss, but you just have to work on each other, work on it.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing to cook these days? Like, you know, we were in lockdown, right? What was that like? What's your one like go-to comfort food?
My go-to food is, of course, it's a Filipino food. Like right now, I'm actually cooking beef pochero. If you're familiar with beef pochero, it's a Filipino version of pochero. There's Spanish pocheros. I know for a fact that there's chorizo and all that. But our Filipino version is basically has pork and beans.
Okay.
So you basically mash the pork and beans. That makes it thicker, the sauce. So it's beef with cabbage, carrots, potatoes, tomatoes.
It sounds so delicious. Yeah, it sounds so delicious. The first time I had my brother's mother-in-law's garlic rice, I was like, now my mother personally has made the best rice I have ever had in my life. There is no other rice like my mom's rice. But my brother's mother-in-law's garlic rice, I was like, what?
Yeah, our rice is like, because the thing is, like, what I've noticed is like different cultures say I have their own version of rice, right? But the Filipino, they're already happy with steamed rice. Uh-huh. And then that's the time that our main entree comes in that gives full flavor in our rice. And then, of course, rice is life in Filipinos. So we eat it for breakfast, lunch, snack, whatever. Rice is life for me. So that garlic rice is a staple in the Philippines. You have
I may have to have like a one-on-one tutorial on how to make it.
Oh, right? Yeah, sure. I would love to.
Because I'm already a bad Puerto Rican. I use a rice cooker because I just don't. Yeah.
Same here.
I'm terrible.
Same here. Trust me. I have a rice cooker and
it's a little rice cooker that, yeah, I got as a gift. I throw it in, I set it and forget it. But I'm so extra with the rice cooker, though. Uh-huh. I throw like stock instead of water. I'm throwing garlic cloves in there. Sometimes I throw a little saffron in there. Yeah, so by the time the rice cooker is done,
it's flavorful. Yes. That's one thing too. Like we have, by culture-wise, by Filipino food, we really don't put anything in our rice. We just steam rice. So the only time that we actually flavored our rice is for breakfast, which is the garlic rice. And then on lunch or dinner, we usually have an entree. Have to have an entree. We can't eat just rice. But rice is life for us. You know what I mean?
Love that. I absolutely love that. The other thing my mother, my brother's mother-in-law makes, empanadas. I grew up eating empanadas, but her empanadas have these raisins in them and they come out orange.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, one Christmas, my best friend Michael and I, we ate about six before we got to like Christmas dinner. We were so like sick, but so full and happy.
Yeah. It's there's actually two different empanadas, Filipino empanadas. One is like made of dough. They're both made on dough, but the thing is, one is fried and one is baked. If you're familiar with Red Ribbon, as far as I know, there's Red Ribbon in Queens.
Red Ribbon?
Yeah, it's a Filipino bake shop.
Oh, no, I don't know this.
Yes, that's one thing. You have to go and try it. It's it calls Red Ribbon, and then they have empanadas. I love it. That's one of the empanadas that I grew up eating. And then the second kind of empanadas that we have is actually has like we call it longaniza.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. If you're familiar with longaniza, in longaniza Philippines is like a sausage, right? But there's different kinds of longanizas that we have back home. But this empanada that we usually have for the longaniza is basically from Vigan, one of the provinces in the Philippines, and it has more on the garlicky side.
Oh.
And then you make it with shredded cabbage or whatever, and then you dip it in vinegar, spicy vinegar. Yep.
Oh my God! I just ate dinner too, and now.
Yeah. So it's like if you try to go to the Philippines, you're gonna be surprised how like diverse our food, because we were like colonized by the Spanish for like 300 years, and then Americans, Japanese, we were like everywhere. So the food influence is like crazy, crazy, like crazy.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Before we went into quarantine, I was asked, I live in Times Square, but on the border of the neighborhood Hell's Kitchen here in, and there's like about a million Thai restaurants. Mm-hmm. And someone, a news channel had reached out to me. And said to me, hey, we're doing this piece on all these Thai restaurants in the neighborhood, and we think you would add some good, like, color to the piece. Mm-hmm. Would you do this? And I was like, well, I'm no expert on Thai food, but yeah, like, let's go. And so I did all this research about why there's so many Thai restaurants in the neighborhood, and the influence on the food, and much like the Philippines, you know, the peppers came from the Americas, and like the spice, the curries came from India, and like the Persians brought, I think the Persians from the Americas brought over the peppers and whatnot. And so it was like this melting pot. They were getting the best of the best from everywhere. And then using it, right? But theirs was more a trade thing as opposed to like invasions and occupations and things like that. So
it's so weird, like, you know, like even in the Philippines, like you know if you're familiar with tom yum, a Vietnamese soup, right? So we have a certain, like, we call it sinigang. It's a sour soup too. but a different take. So like you will see like in every dish, I feel like in anywhere in the world, there's always a take on different country as well.
Yeah.
They will say, okay, curry is from India, but I know for a fact that there's like certain things that actually influence that. It's one way. It's just one. We're just in one earth sharing different food, and then boils down to one different dish. You know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Sharing different salivas.
Yeah, the look.
Oh my God. This has been so great. Before we close out, I'm curious to get your opinion on, as someone who's like just in the throes of like fine dining and like in the heart of the culinary world here, where do you see us going in this after this is all over, if it's ever over? What do you think the new normal is going to be, and how is that like going to affect you and your profession?
Honestly, I was just talking to my sushi corporate chef, and I was like even telling him like, we know for a fact that this will last probably first quarter of next year. I'm not even gonna be surprised. And we're all worried about, it's not about the money as well. Me personally, it's not just the money. I'm like, I can't stay home. I can't. That's why I took culinary. That's why I'm working in the kitchen, because I need to move. I need to do something. You know, I need to share my talent. I need to share my passion. I love the adrenaline. I love the drive. So right now, honestly, it's like, I know I've been busy, but at the same time, I'm like, what is next for me? I am in that position already, that what is next for me to do now? Because there's no guarantee that we're going to open again. The numbers are not getting low. So we were like, okay, it's still business. We still need to operate and all. But at the same time, we were like, it's going to be tough for sure. It's going to be really tough.
How do restaurants, especially restaurants like yours, survive? How are they going to do it? You know,
honestly, like if you're going to ask me, we're really like losing money. Honestly,
the hospitality industry makes up one of the largest percentages of the unemployed, of those on the unemployment line, and the restaurant business is hurting the most. I have talked about that ad nauseum here since this whole quarantine began, but it's like, all right, if we make it through. Right. When we make it through, let's be hopeful. Let's be hopeful and happy.
Of course, positive. Right? We need to
positive. When we make it through and there's a new normal set up, like, what does that look like, especially in fine dining? Because fine dining, the prettier the plate, the more hands that have touched it. Let's be honest here. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And that's an old Julia Child quote. So it's like, well, Now are we going back to basics, do you think, where it's less about aesthetic and more just really about the cooking, right? Or or are we going to strive to hold on to the aesthetic? You know, it's interesting to think about.
What I've seen and what I feel that the company, our company, the Tao, is actually doing is still giving the best food that we can offer to the people who actually patronize us for all these years. And we're just keeping the fire alive. We just have to do it. Because like, let's all face it. Like, I know it's going to be a hard, like it's been tough, like money-wise, financially, everyone's like having a hard time with that. But we have this belief, we believe that people are actually like, by nature, even if any cultural, wherever you are, even if you're having a hard time in life, you still crave for something that you think you deserve. That's what I believe in. So even if I'm like short, I know people need to be smart with money and all. But at the same time, if I work hard for my money, we take, and we know for a fact that you want to eat in our restaurant, we will still give you exactly the same thing that you've been craving for. That's our goal. That's what we wanted. We wanted to take care of our patrons, period. We wanted them to be satisfied. Unfortunately, we can't give them the whole service, the whole shebang that we can offer, the usual offer that we usually give. But, I mean, we got to do what we got to do. We just need to extend our hands now that actually Tao is very grateful about, you know, helping people as well. We have Tao Cares that, you know, and it's amazing. But at the same time, I know, you know, I don't think we're going to stand up in a regular basis anytime soon. But we're very hopeful. We're very hopeful. And we're very trying to, like, we're really trying to follow the laws just to, like, accommodate people as well. And as well to lessen the numbers of, like, being positive with COVID. It's tough, you know.
Well, I'm very hopeful for you that you can be back in the kitchen doing what you love, you know, and just, you know, getting back to doing what you love and getting back to work. You know, it's affected all of us. And this has been a really, really interesting time. But the joyous thing that has come out for me during this time, at least, is discovering and meeting people like you and other people and having the opportunity not only to hear your stories, but to share your stories.
I completely agree on you. Like, I was even like talking to my wife and I was like, you know what? I can't let myself to be affected with what's happening around me. I just need to be more positive. I have people, as I've said, if you've watched my video for New York Pride, I was like, they asked me, what is pride for me? And as we all know, like, kitchen life is very tough, especially with I'm a minority, I'm a woman, I'm a lesbian, I'm like, I'm all in that Asian, and you know. So, but the thing is, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, and you have to, like, I feel like I'm not alone. That helps me a lot. Knowing that you, like you, who actually want to hear my story, it was a blessing, and I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I love that. I love everything about that. Are those Savor Pride videos still available to watch if you wanted to go back and watch? Do we know about that?
Yeah, I think it's on their YouTube channel. It's God's Love We Deliver.
Yeah, God's Love We Deliver. All right, yeah. I'm gonna see if I could find those and link yours out too. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me and laughing with me, and you know, my big gay podcast loves you, and I love you now too because of just meeting you and hearing your story and just laughing with you. This has been really, really awesome. If people want to find you, tell them the Instagram, the website, wherever they know that they can go to Tao Los Angeles, you know, to find you.
Yeah, just when, like, it's open, hit me up. Like, I'm my Instagram is Chef Kate Pelayo, straight up. There's no really, I'm teasing. Okay.
Great. And I'll link that out too. This has been such a joyous day, and such a great way to end July. Just hearing your story and just laughing with you. Like I said, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. This is the beginning of a beautiful relationship, I think, and trust and believe that you will be one of the generals of my of my big gay culinary army that I am building. Okay.
I can't wait. Just hit me up anytime. I'll be here.
It's going to happen. I believe it. Out there. Happy end of July. Here we go into August. Hopefully you're staying cool, staying safe, obviously wearing a mask and washing your hands. And as always, take care of yourselves. And thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth.